Greetings and welcome to the Hijinx 2 podcast, episode 92. My name is Joel Watson. I make an online comic called Hijinx and Sue. In this episode, I'm joined by my friends Eli Luna. He's a video game artist with Terminal Reality. Right now, Eli is working on the Walking Dead videoed game enjoyment. We don't talk about that at all on this show. God, no. Alex Flores, my good friend, is a freelance graphic designer and photographer. Google Alex Flores, A-L-E-X-F-L-O-R-E-S. I think it's an S. And he has a blog where you can see all of his many fine works. He designs covers for magazines and posters and all kinds of crap. Very talented. Not like those video game guys that sit around doing nothing, tightening graphics and such. Ugh. He uses his hands. He makes things. He smashes paper until it looks like a poster. Anyway, in this episode of the Hijinx 2 podcast, what did I just say? Hijinx and Sue. In this episode of the Hijinx and Sue podcast, we recorded, first of all, quite literally months ago. We actually talk about how The Dark Knight Rises has not come out yet. That might as well be the past. That's a long time ago, people. That is earlier than now. And we talk about how we feel about going to see that thing. We talk about trying to cut the cord a lot, especially at the end. The cord being the cable service, the provider, the satellite, the whatever. We talk about trying to get away from that and why how difficult it is to just be a person that isn't paying $100 a month for cable when you're a geek that likes to watch television. We talk a bit about the death of movie magic and a few other things. The sad career of Smash Mouth comes up. I don't know why. Before we start, there's a couple of things I want to make you aware of. Number one, merchandise. The little Will Wheaton plushie that's available in the Hijinx and Suit. What? What's that you say? You don't know what I'm talking about? Well, there's a man, and his name is Will Wheaton. And he lives on the internet. And that man and I have made a facsimile of his likeness and made it a plushie, which is, it's not a sexual fetish. It is. But in this usage of the word, it is not. It is a small doll. It is a fluffy, fuzzy. I'm sounding sexier. It's a diminutive, squeezable item. That's even sexier. It's very sexy. I can't, no matter what I say, it's just going to sound very sexy. It's in the Hijinx and Sue store. It looks like him. It has his Twitter handle on the shirt. And you can purchase one for $20 at store.hijinxandsue.com or go to where you got this podcast and click on store and get one of those. If you order quickly, this is October 31st, All Hallows Eve. You can get one before the Yuletide Festival. And our goal here is not only that you will have these plushies of Will and you'll enjoy them and put them next to your Pokemons or whatever, that you will accessorize them. We would like for crafty people to buy them. And what we've done is set up a Tumblr that you can go to at lilwilladventures.tumblr.com, L-I-L-W-I-L. Adventures spelled appropriately at .tumblr.com, and people are knitting him all kinds of terrible space sweaters and other things and putting them on there for you to enjoy. And so go get you one of those plushies. It'll be delivered very quickly, and you can start making hats and stuff for him. If you know what Sparks McGee is, you may not Google it. I am just waiting with bated breath for someone to make a Sparks McGee outfit for our little Will Wheaton plushie. It would be so, I would just be tickled. Space sweater orange, if something like that happened. Other things, holiday-wise, in the Hijinx and Sue store, there are greeting cards. There's a set of, I want to say, four greeting cards. Two of them based on holiday-themed Hijinkansu comics, and two of them original artwork designed just for the cards themselves. You can get a set of those for, I think, $14-something. $14.95 for a dozen cards, maybe? I should have looked this up. It's a lot. It's more than none. It's a good amount. And they'll be sent to you, and then you can send them to people after you've scrawled your mark all over them. So, what else is going on? If you're going to be in Austin, Texas, the part of Texas that people go to feel like they're not in Texas anymore. If you're going to be there, December 8th and 9th, there is no reason you should not come to a free event at Dragon's Lair Fantasy and Games. It's a comic store, it's a gaming store, it's a tabletop store, where myself and a good half dozen other full-time professional type webcomicers are going to be there doing 2 days worth of signings and panels and fun stuff and hangouts. We'll have merch for sale, we'll have skewed glances to deliver from across crowded rooms. And there are literally hours of free panels where we make fun of each other and the audience. And it's been, this will be the third or fourth year I've done it. It's hilarious and fun every time. The 8th and 9th at Dragon's Lair in Austin. You gotta come. It's so much fun. Support your local whatevers. Because we'll be there. And no more travel till almost the end of the first quarter next year. So you missed your chance, people who aren't in Austin, to be bathed in my glow. If you want to leave some feedback for the podcast, feel free to do it in these manners. Leave a comment on the actual post. I don't think a lot of people realize, as they're listening to these through iTunes or whatever, you can go to podcast.hijinksandsue.com and you can comment on each show post. You can leave a... what are those things called? Reviews on iTunes. Positive ones. Tell your friends about it. Make people find this show in the rankings. Why not? You can call us, 203-6FANCY-B, and leave a voicemail with a question, or a concern, or a secret. I won't tell anyone. I'll tell everyone. And if you've enjoyed the show, if you want to continue to enjoy the show, you'll click on that donate button on podcast.hijinksandsue.com. There are instructions there. It's very easy. It's very fast. Yeah, I promise you'll hardly notice it. I'll notice it a lot. I'll like it. It'll ease my mind and relax my furrowed brow. And coming up, oh, I believe, in the next episode, the next two episodes, it's a two-parter, I'm doing something new, something I've promised since the original relaunch of the podcast, finally getting into the interviewing and speaking with thereof of my friends with very interesting jobs. Celebrity type friends and otherwise. These people in these next two episodes will be my friends Yuri Lowenthal and Tara Platt. They're both professional voice actors. Yuri, you may know from Ben 10, if you have children, or are yourself a cartoon watcher. And Tara, you may know from literally a million video games and animes. So look, those episodes were great. We had so much fun talking about the actual real-life job of being a professional voice actor. It was fascinating. So fascinating that it took two episodes. So you'll get those two probably in order, you lucky sons of bitches. And if the if there's any reaction to those, if you like them, let me know. And I'll try and do more stuff like that. I think it's a nice change of pace, other than your typical me trying to make Rob and Dave and Eli and Alex and occasionally once Josh laugh. Man, that's hard work. Just talking to people about their incredibly amazing jobs, that's easy. That's fun. Everything else is just drudgery. That's not true. Enjoy this podcast episode 92. He's Dread Jim. Godspeed, you fancy bastards.
This is not the future we were promised.
I got to drink this thing quick. I always get 1.5 of these, and I feel bad about throwing away the other.
There was Yakuza outside. Are we recording?
Yeah. There was a guy. This building that we're recording in is it's not in an unshady part of town. You know, it's not gross, but it's not. Like, I bet.
What the fuck?
Oh, what'd you do?
I opened it.
Podcast foul. Fucking beer everywhere.
I blame the messenger or the deliverer.
Okay, go right outside on that shelf. There's a bunch of rolls of paper towels. Or in the bathroom, also right
podcast
outside.
Podcast foul.
The podcast foul. So anyway, this neighborhood's kind of weird, kind of sketch.
Yakuza.
And there's Yakuza everywhere. When I pulled up into the parking lot, a guy pulled up in his truck, like looked at me, and then turned around and sped off. Like he was here to fucking pick up a body or rob this place or who knows?
He was here to pick up a body, all right. Damn.
Yeah, hell yeah.
How's that?
Oh, hell yeah.
But there is good Asian around here, so.
And by that you mean food?
Food.
Okay, I was just making sure because I did not sound.
That's how I pick up prostitution. There's some good Asian.
Well, I mean, you did marry one, so.
Right? Good Asian.
How's that going? You enjoying that so far? About ready to bail.
Four divorces in. It's
about ready to bail.
Yeah, we're looking good.
Okay. Okay, so you were about to tell me about a TV show you watched, Alex?
Yeah, I saw Leverage for the first time.
Sure, tell me about it.
Leverage.
I did an entire podcast about Leverage, but it wasn't a Hijinks and Sue podcast. It was a lo-fi podcast.
Well,
I'm also friends with the guy that created it, so before you say anything terrible,
I know.
Say that these terrible things are your opinion.
My opinion.
And whether
only.
I agree or not, I probably won't say for fear of Hollywood reprisal. Please continue, sir.
No. I'm well aware of your connection to the makers of the show.
Okay, go ahead.
Including,
did you know that Dean Devlin, the other guy, the other showrunner, is the guy from ID4?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
And that totally makes sense because.
Okay, go ahead. You have a theory now.
I'd never seen the show, but I knew of it, and just so happened that we actually canceled our cable.
You're a cord cutter.
Yeah, we cut the cord.
Oh shit.
But we got Hulu Plus and Netflix and iTunes, and we're good.
So you have to wait roughly a week to see a new show?
Which is fine.
On all accounts?
Yeah, because we do anyway.
Okay.
You know?
Okay, let's put a pin in it. I want to talk about cord cutting when you're done with this.
Sure.
Treatise.
Yes.
Go ahead.
This accord.
Go ahead.
Well, one of the basic channels that we get is ION, I-O-N. It's called ION Television.
Yeah.
And they were just having a complete, like, just...
Leverage shit fit?
Yeah, they're like, yeah, we got Leverage! Damn, this is all we show is Leverage.
Wait, are you saying over the air you get an HD channel called ION?
No. Well, we still have, like, basic digital...
Oh, like 13 channels or something?
Okay. And that is one of the channels. And all they show are just syndicated TV shows. And they were all stoked. I guess they're announcing it this week, because yesterday I watched, like, 3 episodes in a row because they were just on.
Sure.
And every commercial was like this huge PSA spot commercial for the show.
Yeah.
Check it out. Yeah. Bam, boom, you know.
Milly, milly, wham.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to watch this because I've always wanted to. I just never did. And it was here. And okay, cool. Let's watch it.
Yes.
And sure enough, wouldn't you know, it was the episode with your dear comrade, Mr.
Stalin?
Mr. Wesley Crusher. Oh.
There are about, I think he's done 3 or 4.
This was the first one.
Okay, that's probably the best one that he's been in. He's not in that one as much. His second appearance, I think, is probably his strongest episode on that show.
Mr. Crusher, what'd you say?
Okay, go ahead.
But I'm watching the show. I'm like, yeah, I like Timothy Hutton. I like him. I've always liked Timothy Hutton. You know, like the, you know, watching the people, I get the dynamic, you know.
It's like
okay.
A poor man's John Cusack.
Right.
Poor man's John Cusack. He's at least 10 years
older
than John Cusack.
John Cusack should have been in Beautiful Girls.
That's right. That's
but
right.
Instead, it was Timothy Hutton.
That's right.
Yet,
that's
Timothy right. Hutton owned that movie.
Boom.
So it's all right.
All right, go for it.
So I'm watching the show, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this is cool. And then, you know, Wesley Crusher comes out. Oh, yeah, hey, check it out. Wouldn't you know? First episode I see, there you go. Okay, great. And then I'm watching, like, why do I like this show so much? Like, there was something mm-hmm. visceral about it that mm-hmm. was like, what? Then I watched the second episode and it came on. I'm like, I get it now.
What is it?
It's Mission Impossible.
Oh. And but with ex-criminals.
Instead of like, you know, international espionage.
Well, here's the other thing that it is, and here's why I liked it initially. This is what drew me in. It's Ocean's 11, the show.
Sure.
For the first 3+ seasons, basically. I think they're on season 5 now. It's basically Ocean's 11, the show, because you would pretty much always see what you thought happened, see that you think they failed, and then see the flashback that shows they set some other shit up.
Right.
Right. So the thing that drew me in with that show initially, and the thing that I go into great detail on this episode of this lo-fi podcast I did a long time ago, was that it knows what it is. It never takes itself too seriously.
Exactly.
And anywhere that anything would be too complicated to be fun, they just leave it out. And they're like, nah, fuck that.
We don't need to get in that deep.
Right. Yeah. So it's like a guy will, you know, sit down in front of a computer, plug in a thumb drive, and then a screen will pop up that says copying files.
Sure.
And you're like,
sure.
Yeah, okay. And there's a lot of that. There's a lot of the tech is real easy and the, you know.
But they rely on the fact that the viewer has got to be smart enough to realize that the things they're doing are, in fact, possible, and you don't need to explain how.
It's kind of hard to tell sometimes if that show. There's always the audience that you make the show for, and then there's the audience you get. And I wonder if the audience for that show is fairly intelligent, or if they are fairly dull and they like that doesn't challenge them, it just lets them have fun.
I think it's both.
Or is it for smart people that are tired of being challenged and just want to have fun?
Well, for me, it was a fun show. I automatically, okay, this is not trying to be accurate or real. This is, like, let's suspend disbelief and just have fun with this heist.
And it's all suspension of disbelief.
Yeah,
because the thing they do that in different hands and maybe in a different scenario would get draining on an audience and on a premise is that they're all the very best at what they do.
Right.
And they rarely, if ever, make actual mistakes or make a mistake they can't recover from with a great amount of expertise and finesse, you know? So,
well, it's funny you bring that up because one of the episodes I saw was an instance where the computer guy, the usual surveillance guy, he had to be – basically, Sophie was out of the picture for whatever reason.
Hardison.
Yeah, so they all kind of had to, like, pick up other people's
roles. Oh, she
left
to have a baby.
That's what I thought because every
she's filmed from the waist up.
And I was like, she's pregnant.
She pulled a Dr. Crusher.
Yeah,
she left to have a baby.
Yeah. So they had to pick up each other's slack, and the computer guy had to be basically
the grifter.
Yeah, she had to be be her part, and then the thief gal had to be the catch. So she was the whole thing where it was like, you know, he got in a pinch because the bad guys are expecting, you know, the computer guy to be able to break into this safe when he's like, I don't know how to do this. So they they had to do this crazy daisy chain of communication to tell him what to do. And he would relay back. And it was just really cool. And it's like, that's believable. And I don't care what the technology is or what, but it's fun.
I haven't seen that, but do they use like the Ocean's 11? Like, oh, it's going to require an Ella Fitzgerald.
Yes,
and, they do.
They absolutely do.
Then I'll watch.
Oh, this is going to be a three card. This is going to be a three card Monte Diablo. Yeah, what are you talking about?
They pull off the whole Mona Lisa.
Or it's like
thing,
they'll be arguing about what tactic to use, and one of them's like, well, we'll do it like Reno. No, we're not going to do it like Reno. We're going to do it like Nashville. No, we're not going to pull a Nashville. Come on, you know.
Yeah, and they actually reference like an actual heist that was done heist where a thief stole Mona Lisa and they made 5 copies.
Here's the thing with that show where as a fan you start to wonder how much longer they should keep doing it because it's like 5 or 6 now. Most shows can't keep momentum past 5 years. That's usually they have stolen everything at this point.
Yeah. And so what's left to steal?
Right. So by season 5 or so, they're stealing like the secrets for like a super potato, like that would grow faster and feed more people. It's a good thing. People want it. It's worth billions of dollars, but it's also a super potato, you know? And that's not to say the episode was unenjoyable, but you start to realize, shit, guys, like there's nothing else to steal that's crazy, sexy, exciting anymore, you know? So now you're stealing Super Potatoes. Like, but you, it's that you managed to stay on the air so long, you know? Like, that's, I don't consider that a fault. And if someone said, hey, you get to keep making your show, I'd be like, fuck yeah, let's keep making this show. You know, it's nice. Nice money, and a lot of people have jobs, you know? But at the same time, you're like, how much longer can you steal stuff? Like, eventually they'll do some really creative shit. Like, they'll steal an entire baseball team. And I'm like, that was pretty fucking cool, you know? And the bad guy in that one was the cousin or brother from Mad About You that reminds me of Nathan Lane. He's like a schlubbier Nathan Lane, you know, that guy.
Really?
You remember that guy? Never mind.
Alexander?
No. No, he was not on that show.
Newman?
He might as well have been.
Oh, that would have been great.
He might actually have a, Newman might be on an episode of Leverage. Newman. It seems like he would be.
Newman.
It really seems like he would be a bad guy on Leverage. That's their typical.
He was a bad guy in Jurassic Park.
So these guys don't have like a army general that's after him?
You know? At first I was like, this is like the A-Team. No, it's not. It's like Mission Impossible.
Because that's what they're
But missing. You're right that it's like the A-Team because they are all criminals. They're on the, well not, but they're actual criminals.
Hey,
they're on the lam.
The A-Team were not criminals.
They were thought of as criminals. So they're on the lam. They
just want to get that on record.
Here's another thing with the show that makes you question how much longer can they keep this up? And I'm not saying I'm disappointed. I'm just saying these are the questions as a thoughtful fan that I come up with. They're now so well known. They've rubbed so many powerful people the wrong way that everyone knows who they
are. Yeah, I kind of had that red flag too, because even in that one episode, which I knew was an early episode, like must have been like season one, season two. One of their adversary was saying, oh yeah, you guys are known, you guys are the team here in the Eastern Seaboard, blah, blah, blah. So I'm thinking, well then if they're known, like if
it gets worse than that, it gets to like, where literally everyone, including the government and every world government and everyone knows who they are. And they keep getting these things where it's like, we know who you are, Mr. Ford, but if you pull this job for us, we'll forget who you are. You know,
right.
That happens like three times. Well,
And see, that's the part of my brain that's like, oh, I'm starting to pick it apart. And like, no, don't do that. Just enjoy it.
You have to stop.
Just stop. You know, even my wife was like, well, how do they get their money if they're stealing stuff and giving it away?
Oh, did you not see the pilot?
No.
They all get $30 million at the end of the pilot.
Oh, to be part of this team?
No.
Out of a heist?
Okay, so spoilers because it's a five-year-old show. Yes. They get put together by a different dude. Oh. And Nate is not a criminal at all. Okay. He's an insurance inspector.
He's an adjuster?
No, he inspects insurance claims to see if – but like million-dollar insurance claims to see if they're fraudulent.
So what he did in this one episode I saw wasn't fake. He was being true to who he is. He was,
what'd he do?
He was playing an insurance claim adjuster.
Well, the whole first season, the bad guy is his insurance company that he worked for.
Okay.
Because they did not pay a claim and let his son die. Oh. Without having required medical treatment.
Gotcha.
So he hates them. He quit. He becomes a drunk. And so they get this team gets put together by another guy. And he's like, hey, fuck this insurance company, man. You don't care if you're a good guy or not. They killed your son. You should steal from them. And he's like, fine, I'll do it. So he's the mastermind. Mm-hmm. Turns out the guy had been wronged by each of them. And was setting them up to get caught. Mm. So they fuck him. They fuck the insurance company. They end up with $120 million.
So they're set.
Right. So they say, guys, you know, the final scene, of course, is we all work really well together. Let's be a team and have a show. Yeah. You know, and then, but
we should have a TV show.
They basically establish they've all got more money than anyone could ever need, in addition to the fact that they've all been guns for hire for
and that's
20 years.
When that question was posed, I was like, well, how do they get their money? How do they get Parker, paid? And I just said, well, I'm assuming that they're all like good. Obviously, they're good at what they do. They're the best. So they must be independently wealthy somehow.
And if I'm not remembering this wrong, I think Nate doesn't take his share of the $30 million or something. Mm. I think he stays with whatever money he had.
Well, he buys those flat screen TVs for his loft.
Yeah, and that changes a few times too. The one thing on this show that I love is because so one of the guy that runs the show, John Rogers, He
is the little pub named after him?
What pug?
The pub. The underground pub where they always meet and hang out.
What's it called?
It's called John's some John Waters something or John Waters.
John Waters. Yeah, John Waters. Like,
it's
mustache.
It's like John or John.
I think it's like John McGillicuddy's or something. Yeah, like or, that. No, I don't know. Whatever. But hey. If you follow him on Twitter, he'll say something like, "Hey, we just got 10." This was when the iPad came out. When it first came out, we bought 10 iPads for the show. Next episode, there's fucking iPads everywhere. Everyone's got a goddamn iPad.
Of course.
So it's funny to see the realistic side of, like, you know, Apple gave us 10 iPads to put on our show, or we bought 10 iPads or whatever it is. And then they're being worked into plots. And the thing that's funny to me is right around that time, you started to notice that every show that had cops, sci-fi, anything technological, Apple. There was a dressed up iPad. They would put it in like a custom injected foam molded case to make it look like something else.
It's the best sci-fi prop you could have if you're making a show.
You could run a fucking video on it instead of doing post-production. Like, instead of holding, like in Star Trek, holding a gray piece of wood with blue painted on it and then having that shit edited in post, you can actually have the video you're showing running on the screen. But one of the things I thought was funny on Leverage in particular was there was one guy who his super high-tech monitor array was all 10 of those iPads on arms all over his desk, and his graphics were flying all over them, you know. And I was like, it's fucking a bunch of iPads. Fringe does it a lot too, where it's like in the mirror universe, they don't have paper or pens. Everyone has this like bulky OtterBox case iPad that runs future OS on it or whatever, alternate universe OS X or iOS.
Fringe OS.
And I'm like, that's gotta be. There's got to be guys like ripping their fucking hair out thinking about how it used to be versus, hey, nerd, make graphics fly over this iPad so we can press play on QuickTime just before you hit, you know, shoot action or whatever. Like, but, you know, I actually read this thing today that Tron, A, was a box office failure, complete failure.
You talking about the guy who won $1 million and bought the cool truck?
What?
Oh, I was thinking of Dave Chappelle. Never mind.
Talking about? No, not Tron. Not Tron.
Oh, I'm rich, bitch!
I paid for this kid cash money. No.
Hot hand in a dice game.
No, not that Tron. Tron the movie.
Oh, the movie.
Bruce Boxleitner, which sounds sexual, you have to admit.
I bruised my Boxleitner.
Bruised Boxleitner. So it's like a makeup you put on your bruised box. It's a bruised Boxleitner.
Oh. Men are coming for the box.
So Tron was a box office failure. It made no money. Yeah. And it was actually excluded from the Technical Academy Award because CG was cheating.
Whoa.
The thought of the Academy was that using computer graphics to achieve technical effects was cheating.
Wait a minute.
And so it was not nominated.
What? Yeah. That doesn't make any sense.
Computer effects.
That those are the
not at the time, effects. Not in 82 or whatever it was.
Oh, I was thinking of the Neutron. I'm
no,
sorry.
No, not Legacy.
I was like, what the hell? Okay, back then. Well, yeah, they didn't even know what the hell they were looking
at. No, they were pissed off too. They were like, you're putting makeup artists and fucking set painters out of work. Fuck you.
That's not true. There are plenty of sets.
And now we got
film.
Black people in movies. What the hell?
Black can talk.
Black people in the talkies.
They're talking on the film and a kid can hear their voice.
God damn it.
All their language.
This is America.
They're using. Yeah. And then I started thinking about when I was a kid, I used to watch those Movie Magic shows. One of them was called Movie Magic. There's a lot of them that came on.
That was a great show.
It was a fucking awesome show.
I watched that show religiously.
And then you realized one of the reasons I think a show like that stopped was
there was nothing to show anymore but some geek at a computer.
How much fun is it for them to watch them render a dragon in Maya or something?
We're
going to
put this, set up this camera in front of Eli here for the next 12 hours. Yeah, make a show out of it.
The entire show would be a dude in a black suit with tennis balls stuck to his elbows and running against a green screen. And then another guy.
What do you do? I transfer that data into this computer.
Yeah. For 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
Oh, so what's involved in that?
Cheetos.
I transfer the data.
But like one of the ones.
I'm a people person, goddammit. I deal with the customers.
One of the ones that stuck out to me, though, was a shitty movie, horrible movie, The Shadow with Baldwin.
Yeah.
right? Yeah. Terrible movie. His superpower was that when he wanted to
was
be super,
a Baldwin.
When he was super, he would get a hooked nose. He would get like a Roman nose. That was crazy, and it wasn't a prosthesis. It was like his superpower was that his nose would change.
Shut up, Alex. What?
So anyway, but one of the scenes was he goes to this like monk temple to learn how to be a hook-nosed shadow man, right. Baldwin or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they showed the guy painting the matte painting of the monk temple, because this would be at the time
where they still had matte paintings.
$100 million set to build, you know, for like a $10 million movie. So they actually, I mean, they'd paint on glass and then shoot a camera through glass.
Yeah.
And our dumb eyes couldn't tell the fucking difference.
Well, we could now.
Now you can.
Our dumb eyes are a little bit smarter now.
But back then you couldn't. You were like, holy shit, look at that temple. Reference. Look at that fucking
I've
temple.
I've never seen that before.
In the episode of Encounter at Farpoint. Yeah.
Well, speaking of movie sets, did you see the featurette for Dark Knight Rises that just came out?
I don't want to. It's like the whole goddamn movie's on the internet now.
No, it's not.
Yeah, oh, is it new footage?
I'm not watching a second of any of that.
You know what they've... I'm going to ruin this for Eli. You know what they've been showing in the previews a lot more lately is that Bruce is walking with a limp and keeps saying, I'm retired.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, plot. There's okay. The whole plot.
Okay, then don't watch the featurette.
No, I don't want to.
But Nolan is smart enough not to
blow it all
away. The
movie comes out in like 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'm going to do the marathon.
Oh, you are?
Hell yes.
Is it in a theater somewhere, or are you just going to Blu-ray it and then you go?
I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to set up in the parking lot, tailgate, bat burgers. Let's go. Watch this shit. Let's do it. Come on. No.
Time to flip the bat burgers, Robin.
I know at least AMC Theaters is doing it in select theaters, and I'm doing it at the AMC North Park.
Oh, nice.
And I haven't seen Batman Begins in
since
quite a while.
Since it began?
Since it began. So it's going to be – they've up –
up-resed
it for IMAX, so that'll be fun.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be 8.5 hours.
That sucks.
Man.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's like a job.
It's like a work day. Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lunch break for that. Ugh. Anyway.
I'm not worried.
I can't believe.
Hockey mask. Oh, do you want to kill me?
I can't believe that that's in like 2 weeks or something.
Why are you watching my movie? I'm watching that movie.
It's 2 weeks. It's 2
please
weeks from today. 2
weeks.
Master Wayne. Master Wayne.
Master Wayne.
Please enunciate. I taught you to enunciate, Master Wayne. Alfred.
Yeah. All the previews now are like, I'm retired, Alfred. I'm not doing this anymore. I'm out. I'm not Batman anymore. I got my back broken or my legs or whatever. Bane broke me.
McG.
We're through. I'm not doing this anymore, McG. I'm so in character, I'm not speaking in my British accent, McG. Isn't that weird that he yells? He's off camera and he yells in an American accent.
Well, you know, new Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
I saw a clip of
him. He's from London.
I saw a clip of him on some, I knew he was British.
I think Spider-Man's just brilliant. It's just brilliant.
Oh, it's just fab.
It's just brilliant. It's just
Spider-Man with the webs and this thing all around.
Bullocks and shite. We'll get some tea.
It's crumpets.
Shite and bullocks and crumpets.
He spoke that way in the TV late night interview, whatever. Yeah, yeah. And then in some Sony Pictures featurette about Spider-Man.
He's like, hello, I'm Andrew Garfield.
He's like, hey, what's up? I'm Andrew Garfield. I'm
Spider-Man. Spider-Man. Flip, flips.
Yeah, and it's like, no, dude. Like, what?
I'm going to jizz webs all over your pants.
So that's weird.
That is weird. They shouldn't ask him to do that. That seems like a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, because they know that, what the hell? A Spider-Man is from some other damn country.
Did you notice unlike Tobey Maguire, he actually spoke with a New York accent? He spoke like a kid from Brooklyn.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, you haven't seen
it? No, I hear it's fantastic.
It's great.
I hear it's incredible.
It's the whole
amazing.
It's the whole first movie again, except with the lizard. But it's good. He's a much better Spider-Man than Maguire was. And it actually made me realize, I think I hate Tobey Maguire. I was pretty indifferent on
him. Wait, so are you saying you hate America?
I think so, yeah.
Now there's blacks in our movies. The Brits are better than
playing
America.
Our Tobey Maguires. We got a goddamn good American Tobey Maguire to play Tobey Maguire in a goddamn Spider-Man movie, and the jobs are going to the goddamn Brits. I didn't fight the goddamn Brits in World War II.
I'll tell you who they should have got to play that goddamn Spider-Man. They should have got another Toby Keith, God Toby bless Keith, Texas.
Toby Keith
as Spider-Man.
I think he's married to an Australian, USA. Isn't he?
Oh, God damn it.
Isn't he married to like Nicole Kidman or some shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
No, that's Keith Urban.
Sure.
Kyle Urban?
They're all the same.
Which one's from Star Trek? That's Kyle Urban, right?
That's Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
Who is also going to betray
Jim.
Portray.
Betray
Judge.
Jim.
Well, he's going to betray Judge Dredd.
He's going to betray us by being Judge Dredd. Yeah.
Which is Jim. The movie that we saw at Eli's right, the other night. The Raid.
He's Dredd, Jim.
I'm done, guys. Thank you.
I'm done. I'm out. That might be the name of this episode. Let me just go ahead and write that down. He's Dredd Jim.
Damn it, Jim.
I'm the law, not a doctor.
He's got the scowl down, though. I mean, because he's wearing that damn helmet.
That
the whole
movie
time.
Is going to be so fucking awful. It's just going to be really, really bad.
It's the girl from Game of Thrones.
Which one? Daenerys Targaryen?
Yeah.
The mother of dragons?
No.
She's the mother of dragons.
She's the last of her kind.
I'm a dragon mother. Sean Connery's my baby. He's me bloody baby. Sean Connery's me baby.
Spider-Man stole me baby.
I am the last.
Maybe a dingo stole your Spider-Man.
I have a very particular set of scabs.
I have a particular set of Spider-Mans. I have issues 193 through 314.
I'll be starring and taken again.
Here's what's going to happen.
They're going to take your dragons.
They're going to take your dragons and your Spider-Man back issues. Are they bagged and boarded? Tell me! Are they bagged and boarded? They're going to take your long box.
I'm going to eat a wolf.
I'm going to punch a wolf in the face until he's dead. Then they're going to take you.
Going to ride a wolf to the moon.
I'm so goddamn sick of all these motherfucking takers on this motherfucking movie.
A wolf to the moon?
Right.
I love Liam Neeson.
See, you know what's going to be great? That's just going to be just down the street.
Judge Dredd.
When they open that Alamo Draft House.
Oh, shit. Yep. That'll be a place that'll be here.
Yep, just down the street. So that's what we did over the weekend. We went to a 90s sing-along.
90s or 90s?
90s.
Oh, see, I thought it was a 90s. Like you got in your little
negligee. Yeah.
We're like,
yay, we're girls.
Flouncing around.
All music from movies of the 90s. And it was a sing-along.
Simply the best.
No, was that on there? No.
Story arc.
That was...
Oh, was that the last episode we did?
Yes, it was.
What if I air these out of order? That won't make any sense.
Oh, man.
What music?
Firefly.
What music was it?
Well, there was music from Gangster's Paradise.
Wait, been spending most our lives living in a gangster's paradise?
That's right.
Down to see
yeah.
that the ones we have of you and me are always on to see.
Yeah, that's not good
right.
music.
So, yeah, basically it was just like a giant karaoke party. Like they just played
okay,
videos.
What else did they have? Come on, give me the hits.
Soon I'll raise
there another. Was 500. I would walk 500 miles.
What movie was that in?
Ben and June.
Benny and June.
Ben and
no June. One saw
Ben and Jerry's.
It's called Benny
ben
and June.
Jerry's.
It's called Ben and Jerry Junies. Ben and Junies.
Ben Stiller's in it.
Men in Black.
Ben in Black. It's Minnie ben, in Black.
Right. It's Ben.
There was
were you getting what was that? Getting jiggy with it? Was that right. the song from Men in Black or something?
Oh, that's right. Wild Wild West.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jesus
which
Christ.
reminded us all that Cisco was around during that time period
still. Oh, with the silver hair?
Yeah. And still looks the same.
What about Silk the Shaka?
All Star was a song that came out during the 90s.
Hey now, you an all star. Stop it.
Yeah.
Don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Shut up. They were on Oh Shit, Dude. You know how they do concerts on HDNet?
Yeah.
And it's like, lately it's been all 90s bands. It's like Live and Collective Soul and Third Eye Blind. But here's the deal. Those guys had 17 hits each, and they can fill a room with like 5,000 people in it. You know, so when they film those guys for HDNet, the place is fucking packed, and the balcony's packed, and everyone's crazy. They had one with fucking... Hey Now You're an All-Star, Smash Mouth. They were filming it from like behind the front row of people because I don't think there were any people behind the cameras.
Yeah.
There was no applause. Yeah. They didn't add any applause in post. They were playing at a like a restaurant in Las Vegas, like a Hard Rock or like a, not a Hard like Rock a, club,
like an In-N-Out.
It's probably a Luby's.
It was like a Luby's. Yeah, it was. It like was you, the get your, you get your chop steak and your green collard Jell-O. Greens and your drink of Jell-O. It's gold. Yeah, and then those guys, and then they were like, "All right, are you guys ready to do the?" And he would like say the name of the song, and I'm like, "No one knows that song, bro." That song, like one of their songs, like let's say it was called like Creep or something, and he's like, "You guys ready to do the Creep?" And he's saying it like he's saying,
"Like I know you know what I'm talking about."
Yeah, no, no. I mean, he's literally saying like, "Are you ready to take a Stairway to Heaven?" And you know, it's like, "No, no one knows that song, buddy. We only know All Star, and we don't like that song." So this was free. Our meal was free, and we want to leave. So. I think they've locked the doors.
It must have been like some sort of defensive driving course.
It was. Yeah. You know? Between songs, they were like, "Now, everybody, remember, you got to keep 2 second distance behind the guy in front of you. Here's a handy way to measure it. Hey, now, you're an all star." Now, that was 2 seconds.
These may or may not be the answers to the quiz, but hey, now, you're a B star. C on, let's A. See?
D all of the above. Get your F on. Go G. Oh my God. All that glitters gets gold stars for participation. Oh my God.
Y'all ready for 3-point turn?
No, that's actually a song that we do. I'm sorry, I was being confused. I'm sorry, I wasn't clear. This is the concert portion of the evening's entertainment, not the defensive driving.
Put your pencils down and get ready to rock.
Didn't they have one other song that everyone knew for a while?
I think it was a cover, actually.
It was.
It was
Shrek, wasn't it?
Was it "Can't Get Enough of You, Baby"? No, I can't get enough of you, baby.
Yeah.
And why can't we be friends?
That one too.
Why can't we be friends?
Yeah.
So they had two cover hits and then All Star, the end.
Yep.
Yep.
So that would be a short concert. So maybe they could play those three songs like 4 times straight. Like,
thank you, good night.
There's enough time to eat a meal if they played those three songs and maybe one more in the middle, one more cover in the middle.
I'm sure there would only be enough people that they're like, "Well, wait,
you well, go ahead." The band will take a break.
No, your table's ready. I don't want my table right now. If those guys could just finish and then we'll sit down. Right. We're having a good conversation out here, having a cigarette. So just let us know when Smash Mouth is gone.
Keep it rolling.
Yeah, Smash Mouth is not what I wanted for dinner.
Hey, now, the band's going to take a break, and I'm just going to replay the whole set acoustically now.
Hey, now, where's my guitar? Going to play songs acoustic. Yeah, they're terrible. And I felt bad for them because they also were not good at what they were doing, so it was unfortunate. But, yeah. You know what's funny? I remember this. Okay, Smash Mouth and Sugar Ray came on to the pop scene at the same time. Sugar Ray had been a hardcore band, if you remember, for like 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Then they had that one song.
Fast, aggressive, kind of punk, like, you know, punkish.
There was that post-punk early 90s, like a lot of bands were like, "Hey, we can do that
but
too."
But still too aggressive to be on MTV. It was not happy music.
No.
And then they do that one song. Yeah, that was horrible. And so they did that, and that shit went crazy. And they did only that, right? And then they had a moderate amount of success after that. But because that was the only song that sounded anything like that on that album, their record company refused to release it as a single. So at the same exact time, a different record company paid royalties to release a cover of that song with like a karaoke sound-alike band.
Oh, no.
And Smash Mouth, same deal. No single because people wouldn't buy the album.
Smash Mouth actually
did
covered
the cover
that
song. No, that's how they got their start. So there would be confusion when buying the singles, they named the cover band like Simple Rad, and then like Smash Mouth was like Spam man spam or whatever spam face. Spam man, so they would be alphabetically right behind okay. them in the CD store.
Wow,
this fucking shady shit, man. I remember that. I was like 14 when that shit happened.
That's when you could still buy stuff at Camelot Music.
Yeah. That's where I'm like in my head, I'm picturing a Camelot when I say that. When you would get a CD with that big long extra piece of plastic.
There was always that one guy that you like. He was just kind of flipping through. I was like, what is he doing?
He's that
just...
guy's totally gonna rob the place.
Yeah. He's got a real long coat on for some reason. Yeah, Camelot. I remember this is a good story about how music is lost on the young, I guess. I was it was about 14 or 15. We went into Camelot, and this is when you could buy like a Pearl Jam CD at a Camelot. This is that time. And they were playing Cake over the radio, over the PA. And The Distance had just come out off the album Fashion Nugget.
Great.
And I remember someone saying, what is this, ska? Mm-hmm. And then I left there going, yeah, I guess that's what ska is.
No!
I keep hearing people say the word ska. I don't know what it means, and there's no internet, so I can't find out. So I'm like, oh, Cake is ska. That makes sense now.
That happened a lot.
But it was like 2 years later before it became clear in pop culture what ska was for people that didn't have an older brother listening to the Specials.
Exactly.
You know?
And just because Cake had a horn in it.
Correct.
People thought that was the qualifier.
Odd time signatures, weird instrumentation, and a horn. And it's like, oh, that's ska.
Yeah.
And then it was, ska was, you know, down with keyboards, and grunge was not. And Cake had little tiny, like,
embellishments here and there.
Casio keyboards or whatever. Yeah, that kind of shit.
I just played a demo.
Yeah.
Check me out. I'm bossa nova. Play my keyboard.
I had to go bossa nova on your ass. Yeah. So, That was like, and then it took like fucking like No Doubt for me to know at least tangentially what ska actually was.
And that was a legitimate, like, yeah.
For a year.
Yeah, they played ska songs.
Their first album that wasn't popular was all ska.
Mm-hmm.
And then their second album that was popular was like 40% ska. It was like pop ska, and they basically invented it.
And No Doubt toured with a lot of ska punk bands before they made it big, and that's why they made it big, because
they were big because they had a hot chick lead singer with like a pouty girl voice.
Yeah,
like,
that
all excuse me, mister, beep, 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 beep. Like, yeah, know, it's just kind of intolerable, you know.
They're coming out with a new album.
But they did get intolerable, though, because I used to like that music. And then they got like that, hey, baby, hey, baby.
Well, they started following the trends.
What? what are you guys doing?
Yeah. And I actually don't mind that even. But I never held them to any kind of criterion of...
That was Rocksteady. Rocksteady was bullshit.
It had some good ones.
Suck a dick. That was bullshit.
It's way better than Return to Saturn or whatever.
I never heard that one. I never came close to hearing that.
Yeah, that was, you know.
Or fucking Gwen Stefani solo shit. That was like Sesame Street music. It made no fucking sense. It was like puppets were making it.
I don't even know about that. See, I didn't.
You've heard it, like Hollaback Girl and all that.
Oh.
It's like, yeah, it's not right. Hip-hop, it's not...
It's puppet music.
It's puppets, right? It's like you can imagine some like green puppets flopping down Sesame Street going... What a few times I've been around that track. Blah, 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 I'm going to count 2, 3. 1, 2, 3.
Manana.
A, B, C. Manana. And come with me. Yeah, it's fucking terrible. God damn, that's a good song.
Oh, Mana. That's a great song. That's an old Swedish porn song.
Mana?
No,
both. No, not Mana.
Oh.
That's another episode.
Ménage à toi?
Ménage à toi.
Ménage à toi. Ménage à toi. Ménage à toi. I'm seriously asking these two chicks with the blow face. Come on, look at their faces. I mean, seriously.
No, really, that song is from an old Swedish porn.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's Mana Mana mean in Swedish?
It doesn't. It's
suck a dick, suck a dick.
It's gibberish. But
suck two dicks.
That's actually where it came from.
Suck two dicks with your big round... scary furry mouth.
The internet is great because you find out all these things well after the fact. Like,
it's that. Like, let's check Reddit today. Oh, Manamana's porn. Excellent. Yep. Let's move on with her day.
Snozberries or penises. Mm. Awesome.
Oh, Hitler was
that bad
of a guy.
I like that.
That was good.
That's not. Who? What's his name? Roald Dahl? Was that the guy? Who wrote that?
the last of my kind.
Who was the guy?
Yeah, Roald Dahl.
He was the guy. Yeah, Sean Connery was a dragon. played by Roald Dahl.
Anyang.
He was, in a previous work, he established that schnozberry was a slang term for dick. So then when it appears in Willy Wonka, schnozberry tastes like schnozberry.
That's the inside joke.
He's like, I just licked this dick wallpaper.
Yeah, it tastes like a dick.
Fucking dick.
Yeah.
Tastes like a helmet.
And then I watched Super Troopers recently, and there's a reference to that, where in the very beginning of the movie, one of the kids is the guy who's totally blasted, is in the back of the squad car, and he's licking like the partition, and he's like, the snozberries taste like snozberries.
And that means dick.
So that was a little inside there.
What is Broken Lizard?
You know, I saw those guys at the improv.
But what is it? Because when they say they say it like you're going to go National Lampoons, like, oh, I get it.
It's exactly what it is.
Right. What's Broken Lizard?
It's those guys.
So it's a comedy troupe. It's like the state.
That's not so much a troupe as it is just a bunch of friends.
Okay. But did they perform as a stage show?
No.
It's weird to brand their movies that way.
Why not? I mean, look at Happy Madison. You know, same thing.
They don't say it, though. In the title of the movie is Broken Lizard's Super Troopers.
Yeah, I think it's their prerogative to do whatever they want.
I think it's confusing for the consumer. Also, I wish Happy Madison would stop making movies desperately. Oh, my God. What a rise and fall of a concept, a man, and an entity. You know, you've seen Funny People, right? Adam Sandler and the other guy?
Where he's dying.
So he gets cancer, reevaluates his life. Okay, there is a not at all subtle allusion to the fact that Adam Sandler is playing an Adam Sandler character. He's made a bunch of stupid movies. He's made a bunch of kid movies.
Yeah, he's playing himself.
He's made a movie where he turns into a mermaid, and he's made a movie where he turns into a baby. And he's like, these movies suck, but I made, you know, $100 million, you know? So we're like, oh, okay. So Adam Sandler is very aware of what he's done. Okay. Well, after you did that, can you stop doing it? Like, can you fucking stop, you know? Because I don't think anyone's enjoying what he's doing these days.
Like, well, I got to say, we saw Brave, and there's a trailer for this new Adam Sandler movie.
The one with the old man, or like my old man, or my young kid.
No,
or
it's an animated, computer animated flick. It's called Transylvania.
Nine Crazy Nights?
Hotel Transylvania.
Okay, 65,000?
Yeah, but he plays like a Dracula-type character, and he has, guess what, a teenage daughter.
Oh, I'm Dracula!
I didn't know it was Adam Sandler until they said Adam Sandler. Oh, that was Adam Sandler. Okay, cool. But the movie itself seems pretty cool because it's the whole monsters exist, da 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 da. Here we are in Transylvania, and humans are scary. We can't know. And then,
what the fuck is this?
Some backpacker kid, like,
I hate to be one of these guys that's like, your early stuff was great, and then you sold out. But his early stuff was great, and then he sold out. Like, and I don't blame him.
Happy Gilmore was pretty damn funny.
Happy Gilmore is still funny.
He's old now.
Billy Madison is not as funny, but it's still funny because it's fucking weird. That movie is fucking pot.
It is. It's very
like it is pot smoking if it was a movie because it's fucking weird. And you can tell a bunch of high dudes were like, it would be funny.
Let's
if
just
there was
do
a
that.
Fucking bullshit
Let's just
here.
Cut to this. Oh shit. Yeah.
But Happy Gilmore has been coming on TV a lot lately. That shit is still funny. Like it's funny for real. And they didn't have iPhones back then. Think about that. I decided that I want to start measuring time. Or like measuring the worth of things. Like, look at Citizen Kane. And they didn't even have fucking iPhones back then.
That's true.
That's crazy. How could you accomplish anything?
That's true.
They didn't have Facebook? They didn't have Twitter?
Yeah, that I don't know.
How'd they make a movie? How'd they do anything? How did anyone find out about it?
Friendster.
Oh, okay.
MySpace.
Citizen Kane was originally announced on Friendster.
Right.
But everybody was already off Friendster, so no one found out about it.
No one knew about Citizen Kane because it wasn't distributed.
What do you mean?
Olgy.
It was not distributed because the film company, RKO, because they found...
Dateline, RKO.
Citizen Kane is based off of
Steve Jobs.
William H. Hurst.
William H. Macy.
Yeah.
William H. Macy's
he's
father.
He's the leader of
he's William H. Macy's father. We all know this.
Go ahead.
No one wanted to distribute the film because they don't have their asses handed to them.
Did they pass it around with underground VHS cassettes?
they passed around Wares copies
like
of
early
it.
Episodes of Mystery Science Theater 3000.
It was on like 16 floppy disks.
Like the pilot to South Park, there was just a million overdubbed copy of VHS Citizen Kane.
I saw a great smash cut of every single movie and short that MST3K has done.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Oh, crap. That was impressive.
I was actually very, very sad to learn that I had been watching MSTs on my iPad on Netflix while I was working for the last couple of weeks. They have shortened the available list of streaming MSTs to like 10.
Yeah, they used to have like dozens.
Most of them. There were a shit ton.
Yeah.
Like a year ago.
And I watched most of them, but...
And now there are like 10. We're talking about cord cutting, which is the firing of the cable and or satellite provider. Here's the thing. You can get most of your primetime quality television and your primetime non-quality television via, unfortunately, primarily Hulu. That's where almost all of it lives right now.
True.
And Hulu is not the best thing. Hulu is...
I'm finding that it's a little lackluster.
It's even if the content is there, the user experience is terrifying.
Oh, it's... Yeah.
It is beyond... It's like if you compare it to Microsoft and Apple, it's beyond Microsoft in terms of like, we don't know how people want to use this product, so we're going to make it as difficult. Hulu is for like robots that haven't been invented yet, basically, to use. Like,
isn't that their slogan? Like, made by robots.
Yeah, made for robots for humans not to use. It's not for people. It is actually... They have an official app, which they don't tout very much because they would rather you do Plus through some device. And they've barely updated it since it came out in like 2008 or whatever. That app is fucking impossible to use.
Yeah, and I use it. I've been using it.
Actually, it's easier to use their website than it is to use the app, which is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. They've got a shit ton of content. It is very difficult to figure out, like, how do I subscribe to a season of this show? How do I make sure I get it every time? How do I get back to it? Can I see a list of all my shows?
Apparently, there's a queue. I don't know where it is, but I've added things to it.
Right, and you're not a tech dummy, and I'm not either. So this is weird that it's this hard.
To be honest, I mean, I've gotten spoiled by the super clean interfaces of Netflix.
And Netflix just keeps refining.
From platform to platform. They do.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
They really do.
Well, that's where Netflix sucks, because they actually have an API where other people can write an interface for it. So, like, the iPad interface for Netflix is great because they designed it.
Yeah.
The Apple TV Netflix interface seems fine.
Yeah.
Probably not as good as the iPad, because it's much easier to flick through stuff than it is to remote through it, you know? Web interface is not terrible. Like, you go to a show and then all of the other episodes, it assumes you might want to watch the next one. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, we were talking about Leverage either earlier in this show or in a different episode.
Or in the future.
Or possibly, who knows. That's how I got hooked on it, was I watched one episode on Netflix. This was back when they had that Stars deal and a whole bunch of other content they don't have now.
Yep.
But then 5 seasons of Leverage, I blew through them in a week. It took me like 6 hours to make a comic back then, so I would watch 7 episodes of Leverage a night, and there was only like 10 per season. So, I mean, I'd watch a shit ton of that. And it was like, want to see the next one? Fuck yeah, dude. Let's keep going. And Hulu is like the opposite of that. And there are movies on Hulu, but you wouldn't know it because they're kind of impossible to find. And they're mostly from like 80s B-list bullshit. So.
And they touted that, and this is kind of one of the tipping point for me to actually subscribe to Hulu Plus, which was they have allegedly the entire Criterion collection for streaming, which I don't think is true.
Okay.
Because I own some Criterion collection films, several of them that are not on there.
Maybe they just have what has been converted.
They have stuff that's like, they have tons of foreign films. Tons of films that like predate like the 70s.
Right. Wait, there are films that predate the 70s?
You mean like 70-year-old people?
We don't understand what you're talking about. Now we've got, they're in our films now. They talk. They talk to white women in films.
And they look at them with their eyes.
With their jungle eyes. What has the world come to?
So,
Okay. So your combination, though, you've got some basic cable.
Yeah.
What's that, like a $15 a month package or something?
It's virtually free with my internet.
Okay. You've got your $9 a month Hulu Plus. You've got your
$8 a month.
$8 Netflix.
Netflix.
So you're into this for like under 40 bones or so, right at maybe with
tax. And I'm watching the same stuff that I already did.
Do you find that you lose the, because this is your what you're doing is what I did in the 2000s, the late 90s and early 2000s of predicting the evolution of content and just going with it, even though it's hard.
Yeah.
I said, you know what? My friend of mine did this first, and I thought, you're fucking crazy. And then I started to see how much his life improved when he said, fuck CDs. He said, fuck CDs. Mm-hmm. I'm going MP3s, baby. And we built like hard drive players that go in a suitcase in your car, and you control them with a number pad, and you can't see anything. And you
turn the key simultaneously, 1, 2, mark.
Yeah. I mean, it was like, that's what boots up the power thing, and like it was rigged into your ignition and all that shit. We were like, fuck. And then I got a really old, shitty, early, made by like Sound Blaster, like Creative Sound Blaster, made an MP3 player that looked like a Discman.
Yeah.
And it had like a 4 gig hard drive in it, and it had a screen that was about a half an inch tall by an inch wide, and it would show 8 characters on top and 8 characters scroll on bottom and scroll forever. Yeah. It was useless. It didn't even sort stuff by album and then artist. I think it was track only, you know? And I put that shit in my car. And it was so expensive, and my car was so shitty that I would either take it with me or put it in the glove box, you know, like it was a shitty, and I had to plug in 4 cables, like power to the cigarette lighter, to the tape adapter,
to the flux capacitor.
Fuck yeah. So, but you're more than an early adopter. You're almost insisting on something that doesn't exist.
This is going to work.
Yeah, I know. It's like, no, you can't have MP3s in your car. And you're like, bullshit. This is America. I can put whatever the fuck I want in my car. I can go shoot a deer if I want to. I can put fucking MP3s in my car. God damn it.
Toby Keith.
Marry a woman. Listen to Toby Keith. So you insist upon it. So what you're doing at this point, and it's shocking that you're still probably 5 years ahead of the curve because they're going to die as slow as the music industry did, but you're insisting that the cable companies not be a part of your viewing selection. Do you find that you miss, or do you actually have the ability to stumble upon things in the vein of channel flipping, channel surfing? Oh, I wasn't expecting this, but now I like Pawn Stars or whatever.
Well, our Netflix queue is like 200 plus strong, with half of which are things that we love and adore, and the other half are things that we'll watch when if we feel
like
it.
Are they series or are they movies,
both,
though?
Both, okay. Both. And then Hulu, I'm still trying to get the hang of it, you know, as far as discovering things, because it's not as easy as,
right,
you know, diving around.
Netflix's recommendation engine is fucking scary, spot on. Like when I first signed up just for DVDs, pre-streaming, I'm just about ready to cancel the DVD part because we're taking like one a month for $8. It's ridiculous. But I spent like 2 hours. I'm like, the more information I give this thing, the better its robot brain will know what I like. Mm-hmm. And after I rated like 200 movies, it's pretty fucking spot on with the stars now, man.
And you know what I've noticed, too?
It's like, you're going to like this 3.5. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck yeah, 3.5. That's what I liked.
Every now and then something will rise to the surface. Like, whoa, they have this, and this is cool, and I'll watch it. But I've noticed, you know, between looking at Xbox interfaces, Wii interfaces, Kindle Fire interfaces, iPad interfaces, computer desktop interfaces, I swear to God, the stuff that comes through is different on every platform.
Oh, yeah?
Like the selections.
Like they're using different algorithms.
I guess. I mean, it's weird. It's like, how come I didn't see this in the living room, but I see it?
Do you
over
find
here,
that you're,
you know,
ever going to a
same account, you know,
specific app? Like, okay, I want to watch that show that's on fucking CBS or whatever. It's not on Hulu, so I have to go to the CBS app on the iPad and watch it, or?
No, I don't. Because
no one watches CBS. Yeah. That's true. I wish there was a better, way to describe that. See, like, I have, I have AT&T UVerse, which is a fiber service. And here's the problem. Here's where you get fucked. When you've got a kid, it's much harder to cut the cord if it wasn't always that way. Like, my kids had 15 DVRs in the house since she was born. That's all she knows. And she knows that some shows are live and some shows are recorded. And her shows, kids' shows, usually come on every day. And they rerun the same 20 episodes a season every month or so, you know? Some of her shows come on 3 times a day. It's fucking crazy. And so at any given time, she has like 3 new episodes to watch. Half the shows she watches are on Netflix, like the whole run of them. The whole run of like My Little Pony and Dora and
Netflix
4 other shows.
Netflix has a whole other interface specifically designed for children.
Which is why they're, yeah, that's brilliant.
It's,
that's absolutely
it's based
brilliant.
On visual cues. It's like pictures of characters. You want to watch Spider-Man?
Yeah, it's nuts.
Click on Spider-Man and blue gives you all.
It's nuts. It's like out, it's like transparent pings with the character cut out.
It's pretty
floating
cool.
Floating over the interface. You're like, I like that one.
Yeah.
And then all his episodes
there you go.
Pull up.
Yeah.
So that's cool. But, and she doesn't know what's a new episode and what's not, you know, like she'll watch the same one 100 times, but at the same time, the same shows she wants are not all there. New shows come on. And as she gets friends that watch shows, they're like, you don't watch this. We all watch this, you know? And, but here's the fucking crazy thing.
Hey, you don't watch this? What the hell, man?
My UVerse internet TV package is as cheap as it can be. While still being useful, it's $160 a month.
Oof.
Only 50 of that or 55 of that is internet. So my TV is like $105 a month. And we watch probably the same shit you do on a more complicated collection of boxes, which a child could not easily navigate. Oh, no, so, baby, you can't watch that. That's on this app that you have to. And she has an iPad and she knows everything, how it works, and she can do whatever she wants to by herself. But it's not remote friendly. It's not a thing. And so here's what I want. This is what I want. And I know they've tried and I know they've been shut down. I want Apple to take the Apple TV and every channel becomes an app. And I want to pay those channels $2 a month or whatever for one channel.
They're moving in that direction. I think I've read a few articles that says that that's kind of what they're trying to push towards.
Well,
but
the president
of
CBS said Apple brought that to us and we told them to go fuck themselves. We will never do that.
Moonves is clinging on to cable. I mean, of course. And all those old guys that are in charge of the big networks, they're indebted to cable television.
Right.
And because not only do, you know, that's the medium. I mean, granted, a lot of those big networks are network television broadcast, not on cable, but syndication.
Yeah.
You know,
that's where all the money is.
Goes
too.
To the cable station.
You'll lose money on making a show for 5 years if you can sell it for millions of dollars into syndication. And for actors, it's the same way. You might get $30,000 an episode to be a lead on a USA show or something. But then when it finally goes into syndication, you might get a paycheck of like $10 million or some shit, you know? There's a system in place that's so deep, it's almost deeper than the music industry, that the reason they can't undo it is it's currently like illegal. There are contracts in place where it's like you can't buy one channel because the cable company said, or the network said,
there are contracts that go way deep.
The network is like, you can't have NBC if you don't buy our 15 other channels.
Yeah.
The end. So both NBC and the cable company and the eventual, let's say, Apple or whoever that gets it right and makes it all streaming and easily available and easily to be paid for, they've all kind of agree that shit's never going to happen.
And that's why there isn't, like, say, an MTV, like, app or whatever in terms of, like, MTV programming, because that's lives on cable and MTV is owned by ABC.
Viacom.
ABC.
Viacom owns ABC.
Viacom owns ABC.
Well, Disney
owns Viacom.
Yeah. Does Disney still own ABC or did they sell ABC?
I'm pretty sure they sell.
Because if they've still got it, then you've got Disney, GE.
GE owns NBC.
NBC, yeah. Disney, GE. Who owns CBS? It's a big one. I don't remember. And then News Corp. Mm-hmm. But you've got like 4 companies plus a streaming service or whoever. plus Comcast and AT&T and Dish Network and DirecTV. Ugh. And Dish Network just dropped AMC because AMC was like, hey, guess what? Our programs are great. Give us more money.
Yeah.
And they're like, fuck you. And so everyone with Dish Network can't watch Walking Dead and Mad Men and fucking Breaking Bad.
Well, neither can I now unless I buy subscriptions, which is fine. I would rather buy a subscription to those specific shows on,
oh, say, like iTunes.
On iTunes than pay cable.
Is that how people like – is that how cable cutters can watch like Game of Thrones?
Hell yeah.
Is that that's the only way?
Or if you borrow a HBO Go like membership.
I tried to do that. When we had when Game of Thrones started back up, we got a free preview of HBO for the first season, and I was like, "Fuck!" We blasted through all 10 episodes in 2 nights because our free preview was ending. And I'm like, "Fuck! This is so good. We've got to finish it." So then we don't have HBO after that.
Yeah.
It starts back up, and I'm like, I was asking Josh, I'm like, "You guys have traditional satellite? Can I? Do you have an HBO Go account that I can just sign on to my iPad or whatever?" And they didn't have it. But then at the exact same moment, AT&T was like, hey, get 3 months free HBO. And I'm like, that's how long a season of Game of Thrones is, you motherfuckers. I know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get me hooked. Here's what I'm going to do, you rat bastards. I'm going to take you 3 months of free HBO. And I'm going to fucking cancel that shit. The fucking moment that someone's head gets chopped off at the end of Game of Thrones, I'm going to cut
that cord.
Cutting that shit. And I did. Also, I got hooked on Girls and Veep, and they're both amazing. Yeah. HBO makes the best programming on television.
I gotta say, I mean, I would gladly pay, you know, $30 or whatever directly, through
for a Apple. Year.
No, just for a season. That's
My god.
Yeah, but
one show.
But
fuck that.
Yeah, but think about it. If you're paying like $175 a month. For a year.
Yeah.
That's times 12.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So versus $30 for one season of a show that's the only show I want to watch.
That's true.
That's fine.
It's just a DVD.
And season. it'll go straight to them. I mean, Apple will take their part.
Is iTunes delayed?
A day.
Okay.
Big deal. Whatever. Like I said before, when we DVR'd stuff, we never watch it when it actually played. We'd always watch it later.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. The climate has shifted where you never say, no one ever says, did you see Mad Men last week? They say, hey, are you watching Mad Men?
Are you watching? Where are you at?
Where are you at?
Yeah,
exactly. I'm in season two. Halfway through season two. Yeah. Oh, my God, it gets so good.
Yeah.
That kind of shit.
Yeah.
And that the fact that they are not glomming onto that and using that to plan their next step is tragic. It's the same with the music industry where you should have been like, guys, this is what we're going to do anyway. You can either figure out how to make it easy for us so we don't want to pirate, or the pirates are going to keep stealing your music. And with TV, I personally, I got to say, you know, I don't advocate all forms of piracy. I think if you're pirating because you just don't feel like paying for stuff, that's pretty fucking
if it's
lazy.
It's a crappy band. Yeah,
that's pretty lazy and shitty. You know. There's no moral argument there. You're either stealing it or you're not. Just don't, you know, whatever. But I'm not going to get on some fucking high horse about how you're doing God's work by stealing music and movies. I actually find pirating TV shows to be too much work, and so I don't do it.
Mm.
Like, the only time I've ever pirated a show I was watching was when our DVR fucked up and we missed, like, a Doctor Who or something. And then I had to search for like days to find a good quality copy of it. And I'm like, I already paid AT&T to watch this.
So you're like, you're justifying like, oh, well, I'm a loyal
fan. I'm justifying it because I want to fucking see it. And there's no other way for me to see it.
Sure.
It's not on DVD. It's not for sale. I've already paid for it. And my DVR fucked up. But it's too hard. I don't have some fucking robot AI brain like Josh does that goes out and seeks all of his torrents and pulls them in automatically, and then they show up magically on his Mac Mini interface. I don't ever want that. I mean, that's too hard, and I don't want to do it the hard way of like searching it out and finding it and downloading it for a day. And most torrents are not fast, you know. Like,
and that's true. It's a lot of data, but I'm doing the same thing too now. In addition to Hulu Plus and Netflix, I went on eBay and found an old Mac Mini.
Yeah.
hook that up to the TV.
I've got a Intel Core 2 Duo Mac Mini. Yeah. I'm probably got the same one.
And it's great. I use the Plex. I basically have ripped all my standard DVDs.
Me too.
Dumped them on there. There you go. Through Apple TV or through the Plex interface, either way, I can pull it up on my phone, on my iPad, whatever.
I never got Plex to work the way I wanted it to. I tried it and gave up on it probably a dozen times. But I finally found, you know what? I got a keyboard with a trackpad built into it, a little wireless keyboard with a trackpad. And I found it wasn't that hard to go into a folder and click on something. But that's how my daughter watches most of her movies. If she wants to see Toy Story, we don't go get a DVD. We just pull up the rip. And we also dump them to iPads. And I'm leaving for San Diego Comic-Con in 24 hours. I've got every movie I've ever owned ripped to iPad-ish quality. And I throw five of them on the iPad and watch a couple on the plane or whatever. It's just the easiest way of doing it. But it's still not a package that a consumer, the typical American consumer, can just leap into. There's not a great argument for cord cutting, because it's still like, okay, well, you got to sign up for four services.
You got to be pretty savvy.
You can only watch two of them on this way. The other two, you got to go buy this thing and watch this way.
Yeah.
Like my mom wanted to get rid of cable because she doesn't watch it. But when my daughter goes to stay with her,
then
she wants to watch shows. And I'm like, well, get a Netflix box, which obviously doesn't know what that is. Mm-hmm. Get a Netflix box, sign up for Netflix, $8 a month, and then you've dropped your $50 cable. You've got $8 Netflix, and almost all the shows she likes are on there. There's something she'll like when she's at your house. She goes to Walmart and gets a $50 RCA Netflix box. And I'm like, fuck, it might have the worst interface of all of them.
Whatever.
But if it works, you know. So then she can't figure out how to hook it up to her computer, which obviously it doesn't.
Right.
So then, you know, there's a whole thing. Yeah. Even that is not for average people.
Well, that's why you're seeing the advent of more and more of these smart TVs, which have it all built in.
Which I'm against. I'm very
against
those.
You're against the smart TVs?
Yeah, really? I really am. Because I would like my TV to be a dumb monitor. I want it to be the best dumb monitor that can be. And that I want something like an Apple TV to be its brains. Because I want to replace that when that becomes old without having to replace
the whole
$2,000 TV.
Fair enough.
Because LG is one of the proponents of that. And I have an LG TV. So when I was buying my TV, it was $1,000 for last year's LG 60-inch plasma.
Right.
Okay. It was $1,600 for this year's plasma that could support 3D Blu-ray, which is a standard that will never catch on. I mean, that'll come and go, and it'll be the next HD DVD.
Yeah.
Until there is glasses-free 3D, it will not happen in the home.
Nah.
The end. It's a gimmick. Yeah. Not worried about it. And the other thing was that it was a smart TV. So I look at the smart TV. It has the same six apps that my LG Blu-ray player has. Mm. And I'm like, well, fuck this thing. And they sell, LG sells a little Apple TV box called the Smart TV Upgrader.
Hmm.
It's just a fucking little app box. And I'm like, well, for the same price, I can get a Blu-ray player that also does one other thing.
Yeah.
But I want to replace that Blu-ray player when it becomes shitty. And I want my TV to last for like a good 5-6 years, you know? I don't want to be worrying about how, oh, Samsung decided to stop updating this model of smart TV. They want you to buy a new one.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
No, it's true. It's very...
I want it to be a monitor.
Yeah. Well, it's why people indulge in component electronics, because...
Exactly.
For that exact reason. You know?
Yeah, I want
my speakers... You don't want to get the all-in-one because you don't want to have to...
Well, for instance, like I said, I don't know if it was this episode or the last one we talked, that I said I replaced my surround sound system, or the future. But I just replaced my surround sound receiver not too long ago, and I went from two HDMIs to six. All six of them are full. That shit's full.
Yeah, already. I've got a little splitter going in my TV.
I used to have a five-way HDMI switch on my old receiver, because here was the thing. It's the same idea. The only thing wrong with my old receiver was it didn't have enough HDMIs.
Sure.
So I could throw it in the trash and get a new $500 receiver, or I could get a $35 HDMI switch with a remote control off Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
So I want that philosophy for all this shit. I don't want to be chunking a $2,000 TV because they refuse to update Netflix on it, which they'll probably do. Mm. They're like, this will increase our profits by 25%. It'll force people to
can't
throw
use
TV.
All those apps anymore.
Yeah,
you
fuck
know.
That. So anyway, I feel obviously cord cutting is the way of the future. It's the way of it should be the way of the present, but
or it's the best.
Or it's the best, or it's the year 2000.
I don't watch TV.
Hey, Eli, do you watch your TV?
You're watching TV right now, aren't you?
No. I don't watch TV.
All right, we're done.
Okay, good. Don't talk.
I was writing this wolf.
We don't know what to do when he's gone.
I don't know.
How does this work?
What's happening?